So I appreciated the song selections that we've had, appreciated the opening prayer, and also appreciated the sermonette that we've had this morning. And that was very fitting. And all of that we have to look at. You know, we can just come and sit in the seats, but the question for us is, are we listening? Yeah, you know, we're hearing someone speak, and yeah, we're hearing those words, but are we listening? Are we putting it into practice? The title of my message today is, Are We Listening? Now, you can go a number of different directions with this. I was talking with Mr. McKeon on the phone yesterday. We got a book that Mr. Scriber gave him that he's been reading, and thought that was very fitting and would like to hear more on that about communication, because listening is all about communication. God is the ultimate judge of all creation. The ultimate. He is the righteous judge. He wants all good for all people. It's just that we as human beings don't like to listen to him. We have to fight off our nature. We have to fight off Satan. But all his decisions are righteous. Let me read to you Deuteronomy 10:18. He administers justice for the fatherless and for the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. So God takes care of us. Even in today in society, people aren't obeying him. There's rain on the just and also on the unjust. He's a loving and caring and patient God. Isaiah 59:15, just want to read you another couple scriptures. So truth fails. Talking about in this land, truth fails. What is truth? God is truth. God's word is truth. And he who departs from evil makes himself prey. So those who depart from evil, they make themselves prey. Satan is always there to attack. Those in the world that follow Satan like to attack those who are wanting to do what's right. Oh, those are easy prey to take advantage of. And then the Lord saw it, and it displeased God. So it displeases God when people take advantage of other people. Why? Because God cares for human beings. He cares for his people. Because there was no justice. That's all in verse 15. Now, regarding justice, I was talking to a lawyer in Chicago yesterday, had some consulting, and he was talking about the judges. I was just listening to him. The judges. There's no righteous judges anymore. None of them. You could take three judges, his words, give them all the same case, and they'll all come up with a different outcome. The judges we have today, in his words, are individuals who couldn't make it as lawyers, so they went and applied to be a judge. We had good judges in the past who understood the law, who knew the law, and justice prevailed for the law of the land, the civil laws. But it's interesting for him to say that. Revelation 19:11 says, Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. This is a time that is coming, that is future. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges. This is Jesus Christ. And he makes war. Those who practice injustice and want to continue in that, there will be war because he judges rightly. Psalm 7:11, God is a just judge. Why? Because he loves justice. He loves things being done rightly. And it says also in Psalm 7:11, the last part of that verse, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. He's angry with the wicked. How does God see you and I? As we heard in the sermonette, as we just sang that song, "Oh, how I love your law." Is it in us? Are we hearing God's word? It's in God's power to decide how he judges and carry out his merciful judgment, whether it's eternal life or eternal death. Are you and I confident that God is a righteous judge? Something for us to ask. Because if we're fearful of certain things, maybe going on in society or the return of Jesus Christ, maybe we're not looking at God as so righteous in our eyes, but we're fearing him. God is here to help us in all of his wonderful ways. God is wonderful. I have a 3-minute video we're going to show towards the end of this message. And it's also about God's creation, how powerful, how mighty he is. And we just know the tip of the iceberg. We can know that God exists through his creation as well. So the title again is, Are We Listening? And what does it mean as we go through the message today? What does it mean to listen? I've printed out, you know, you can go through the Bible and you can, you know, go into one of the Bible apps and type in the word listen. Many scriptures pop up for that. Mark 4:3, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Listen. This is God's calling. Listen how it works. Listen what we need to do. Listen to what God is doing. Listen. Listen. John 8:43, as people were coming to Jesus Christ, they didn't understand him. They didn't want to understand him. Some of them knew that he was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. Jesus Christ says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." If we're not willing to listen and to apply God's word, we're not going to understand. We will be fearful. Isaiah 28:23, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Isaiah 46:12, listen to me, you stubborn hearted. You are far from righteousness. I encourage you to go in and type that in and go back and listen to that. It's a good word study. So my hope today is, as we look at Scripture, that we hear God's words and we take the time to truly listen. Why? Why listen? If we want to be a part of God's calling, a part of what he's offering, we need to be doing what he says. And I know we can see in our lives with our kids and we tell them, stop, stop, and they keep doing it. Stop, stop, and they keep doing it. They don't trust. We need to learn to trust. Our children learn to trust us. Listening is a communication skill. Listening is about relationships. If we listen to God and we adhere to what he says, we'll grow in a relationship with him. If we apply what he says, we'll grow in a relationship with one another. I know I'm speaking to the choir, but I think it's important for us to really think on these things. Sometimes we hear, how many times have we heard, we thought we heard something one way, and the person says, no, I didn't say that at all. Happens quite often, at least for me. You can go on to UCG website, and you can type in the word listening. Listening/communication, or listening and communication, or listening and communicate, or just even listen. A number of articles come up. There's one here, listening, a lost of art. Listening, a lost art. Sorry. That's a 12-minute read. First paragraph for that article goes like this. One of the biggest single reasons for relationship problems, researchers have found, is that people don't listen to each other. We seem by nature to be impatient with one another and with life in general. Now, sometimes we don't. We shouldn't listen, right? But I'm talking about here about relationship with God and us wanting to build those relationships. And that's what the article is talking about. It says, listening to and taking on board another's point of view takes time. Why? Because this is my view and that's what it is. I don't need to listen to your view. No, it takes time. It takes effort. Energy and effort that many are not willing to expend. Do you think God wants us to expend time with each other? God sacrificed his son, gave him for us. And Jesus Christ gave of his life so that we could have relationships with the Father and with one another. With their help, to the point that we're willing to die for one another and not be afraid. To that point, that's what we need to become. Continuing on, it says, this is true within the family, at work, and even in highly public situations, as is evident in many television and radio talk shows where people express strong opinions on almost every subject under the sun, yet rarely appear to be actually listening to anyone else. Sometimes I'll listen to someone calls in and they ask a question, and the host doesn't even really answer the question, even interrupts them. And sometimes you'll get a panel of four and you got the host, and they go off on their own tangent. Why is that? Why are they not listening? Is it, you know, you could probably, a few words for that, selfishness, being prideful, not being loving and considerate. Another article on there, communicating more effectively. And they use the scripture, Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace. In other words, be with favor. Seasoned with salt. I mean, it's just the right, you're going to the person because you care about the person in your conversation with them. That you may know how you ought to answer each person. Something for us to internalize. Listen, internalize, and then we can ask God to help us to be able to apply this. In other words, to show interest, right? Love suffers long. In 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers long. Love is patient. It is kind. Through God's Holy Spirit, we can be gentle. We can be kind. So listening makes us better communicators. Jesus Christ said, he said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have the way. I have the good news. I am of truth. I bring you truth. God's law is truth. His word is truth. Who God is, he's truth. He's the law. I am the way. I can help you. I am the door to give you this life and eternal life. And there's more to that, obviously, but I think at this point, we need to really understand that God says, you are holy. You're a holy people. God is calling us to be something. God loves his saints. He loves the saints. And God wants us to listen to him. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Now, I know I'm going quickly through some of these scriptures, and if any of you want my notes, just send me an email. I will send them to you. And we're going to be in Revelation quite a bit, and I'm going to hit some areas. And I might, you know, so keep your finger in Revelation. Here we have in we have these letters written to the church. Seven letters written to the church. It was to the individuals back then, and it's for us today. Proofs of that, Revelation 1:4, it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So these churches were on a mail route in the Turkey area. And these seven letters went out. Now these seven letters are for all of us, not just one particular letter for one church. We're all human, we all make mistakes, and we need God. We need to listen to what's written in these letters. I just want to touch on them as we go through, but they coexist, and these letters are for us today. These messages are for us today. In verse 6, it's to all the saints. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. So are we part of being that kings and priests? Kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests, however you want to look at that. Yeah, it's for us as well. We're on that same path as well. And verse 1, it says here about shortly taking place. And again, it's to all the churches, and it's over time. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. It's to show us. Are we his servants? Are we his friends? It's to show us. Things which must shortly take place. Doesn't mean it's going to happen quickly. Shortly, you know, God is not of the physical and the spirit. There's no time. So it will happen. For us, we have a short period of time to live. And these letters are for us to put into application into our lives today. To listen, to heed these words. Now, I know sometimes we come to services, and I don't want to have a, you know, a message that's down and beating you up at all. God is a wonderful, caring, and giving, and loving God. Look at all the blessings you have in your life. He loves and cares for you. If he is willing to sacrifice another God being, and another God being is willing to come onto this earth and sacrifice himself and suffer for us, you not think they love us and care for us? How can two beings who existed forever have everything be willing to serve us, to serve their creation? They want to serve us. They want to take care of us. But God wants us there. He wants us there. He wants to know without a doubt, so we are tested, we are tempted, and we are tried, and we are in battle for our lives. Someone sent me an email this morning, can't even listen online. I'm discouraged. I listened to him. A couple of us went and visited him a couple of weeks ago, and he won't mind me sharing this, I'm not going to say his name. But he's in a home, a nursing home, and I said, you know what? I've felt that way before myself. But I said, you inspire me. You being in a facility and standing for the truth, and all the people in that facility know what you stand for. You won't eat pork. You don't keep the holiday, the pagan holidays of Halloween that's going on right now, or Christmas, or any of those other things. They see that you eat differently during the days of unleavened bread. You are being a witness to them. You inspire me for standing up for the truth. Don't be discouraged. Satan wants to get us down. We need to be encouraging each other. And I am being truthful when I say, I see God's people being obedient to God. You inspire me. You help me as well. We need to help each other to move forward. Because it is a difficult road. It's straight, right? It's narrow. And it's difficult. It's a difficult way. And we need each other to help each other, to lift each other up. Most importantly, they all work together. Our relationship with God must be put first as well. I know I want to get done with this message, so. So Revelation 2 verse 4 also, he's now rebuking those he loves. He loves you. Hopefully he loves me. Well, I know he does, but I haven't made it yet. And neither have you. But he loves us. Love it like a loving father and a loving mother. We're the church. We're the mother. We should be caring for each other. He rebukes his saints. But remember, he loves us. That's why he's rebuking us. Because we don't always hold fast to that calling as we should. We don't always hold fast to the relationships with one another as we should. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have this against you. Is it breaking into this? That you've left your first love. You've left it. The primary factor, your primary love, the agape love. When you were baptized, came out of that water, our sins were all forgiven. If it was a valid baptism, hands laid on by the minister, to receive God's gift, that seed of the Holy Spirit, to help us to be love, to help us not be prideful, to help us to not be selfish. You've left that. You've left it. Verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember what you're supposed to do and what you're doing right now. Now, this can happen in and out of our calling. Sometimes we're going right along, but sometimes we fall short and we don't repent. It says, repent and do the first works. Seek God with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We were excited for that. We're willing to listen, as we heard in the first message. We were willing and eager and couldn't get enough. Or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Does repentance bring us salvation? Does forgiveness bring us salvation? Does works bring us salvation? Does faith bring us salvation? We know that without faith, you can't please God. You know, you have to have faith in works. We need to have forgiveness of our sins. But if we neglect to use that sacrifice, those things of and by themselves, they don't bring salvation. Those are a conduit to God. To the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it's through his blood that our sins are forgiven. It's through his life, them living in us. So we cannot neglect a relationship with God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and seek Him. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. They want us to overcome being prideful, overcome being selfish. Come back to having that zeal of that first love, to put God first and to follow His words. And when we mess up, that we want to repent. We want to change. We want God's help. We want to use that sacrifice. We don't like it when we sin. We know who paid the penalty, what He had to go through. Let's go to, we're in chapter 2. Because you know what? This calling, you know, it's a calling also to not loving your life. God doesn't want us fearful. Samaria, the church, verse 10, don't fear, because there's going to be tribulation in our life, and it's coming, whether it be in this lifetime for us or. And you can look at what's going on, presidential race, and our minds can, this person gets in, that person gets in, what's going to happen, where are we at, what's going on right now with the economy, how long will the dollar hold on, you know, what's the debt ratio to GDP, it is huge, it is beyond repair, and it's escalating. But maybe I'll talk about that here this coming Sabbath. It says, don't fear, right? Verse 10, do not fear any of these things which are about. Let me start over. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Listen. God is saying, listen. This is going to happen to some. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, us. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by second death, which is eternal death. And what do we do as a sidebar? 2 Timothy 2:12. I used this scripture last Sabbath. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He also will deny us. You know, Daniel's three friends are told to bow down to the image at the sound of the music. Now they could have just said, oh, did a little skirtsy and bowed and been okay. No, they were adamant. They would not bow down. They would be faithful. And they didn't fear. We know what happened when they went before King Nebuchadnezzar. He offered them a second chance. And before the music either started or finished, I can't remember it at the turnover there, but they said, no, we are not going to bow down. He got so angry. And they said, you know what? If God takes our life, He takes our life. But He also can save us. And that's what you and I, that's where our mindset needs to be. Pergamos, verse 25. Hold fast. Hold fast what you have till I come. Hold fast to the truth. Listen to these words. Sardis, Revelation 3:3, says to be spiritual ready. Be spiritual. Hear these words. Apply them, or you will not be ready. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. This is verse 3 of Revelation 3. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch our spiritual condition, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. It'll come suddenly. It'll be too late because we left that primary love. We know that God is going to resurrect us. We know Scripture tells us that. We understand that. we need to believe it and trust in God. This life doesn't compare. We don't even know what God has in store for us. Are we listening to God? Are we trusting God? Laodicean. We can have this attitude. Again, all these letters are for us, different times for our calling. Revelation 3:18 is going to tell us, I counsel you to repent. Listen, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So God wants us to overcome our nature and put on his nature. So we have to take heed as we went through, as we touched on these letters. We need to take heed to these words. We need to put our communication skills into practice. We need to listen. Because it's not just us, it's all people that eventually will have to overcome and need to change. But that's the process for this calling now, is to not be hurt by eternal death. All right, and then God has a process for us not to have to fear, and how we have a relationship with him. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. So keeping God's commandments is one of the ingredients that we need to be doing. And may enter through the gates into the city for eternal life. God is making his home with us, and he's going to prepare a place for us. Revelation 17:1, as I'm hitting on these scriptures. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Here John is being invited. It's not just John being invited, it's also those whom God is calling. Come and see the deception that's going to be going on in the world. That is going on in the world, and how it's going to increase before the return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 22:4. Those who obey God, those who are listening and responding, says they shall see his face. They'll become spirit beings, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Is that actually a name written on the foreheads? Or is it who we are? It's our mindset we display God's ways. So a new name will be written on their foreheads. We'll take on God's name, his character of who he is, if we remain faithful and live forever. And then God wants to serve us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He'll still be in charge, and he wants us to serve others. It's a whole different concept than eat or be eaten. It's the society with Satan. It's hard to comprehend. You know, and one of the questions we had last week after services, as we started doing again, we won't do it today, but we let the speakers come up front and the audience to ask them questions about their message. Last week, I was talking about Revelation 14:9, I didn't read the scripture. I was talking about the vaccines, you know, could that be the beast power? I said no. And Revelation 14:9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that don't want that vaccine. The United States is not around when the beast power comes into play. It's another kingdom. So it is. It's what our thinking is. It's who we serve, right? Are there marks? We'll have to wait and see. But the spiritual aspect is, are we serving God with our mind? Or are we serving Satan? It's going to be one or the other. Who are we serving with our hand? Are we faithful to God? Or are we afraid of God and we're sometimes serving Satan? If we're serving Satan, we're not serving God. You can't serve two masters. Those hearing and listening and applying Revelation 5:10. Revelation 5:10. And have made us unto our King, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on this earth. They'll be clothed in white garments, representing being sinless through the sacrifice of Christ. Revelation 3:12. I know I'm jumping around here. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple and God's house. In other words, the saints go from being the temple of God, having God's Holy Spirit, to being a pillar, being spirit being, a transformation. Continuing of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. Jesus Christ is coming to judge in the millennium, in Matthew 25. During the millennium, he judges. He judges people on how they have a relationship with one another. They were thirsty. Did you give them drink? You know, you just go right on into that. Serving others. Are we listening to God? God is bringing his rulership to this earth. Will you and I be ready? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. We know the scripture. We know the scripture is going to happen. Why? Because we understand the word of God. We trust God. We know what's going to happen. Do we understand it? Are we listening? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It's going to happen when we least expect it. Mr. Tuck's letter to us. We don't know. We may think things still have to happen and put in place. Maybe we see it a different way. How quick? Chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. It's also a day of Christ. A new era. Question for you and I. We want to be a part of that. Verse 2 says of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be in trouble, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as far from us as that day of Christ is at hand. Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Be ready. Be ready. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1 talks about this great day of the Lord. And for us, let's look at this. But let's look at this as what Scripture's being told of us. Let's look at this from the letters that we just read in Revelation. And look at it, because God says this is going to happen. You know, that the Lord's day is near. It's going to be bitter for some, for most. Why? Because people, they didn't hear God's word. Or the message that's going out that UCG sends out there and it's available. A lot of people have heard it. I have friends who have heard it. They've heard it when I first came here to Phoenix and we did a mass blitz of the plain truth all over the city. I still get people asking about what they heard, and they know. And they see what's going on in the world, and they ask questions, but they're not responding. We look at it for us from our perspective, because if we're not going to listen, like we heard in the sermonette, our blood is going to be required for that death penalty. Christ wants to take it away. Verse 14, let's read 14 through 17. That great day of the Lord is near. You know, for us, judgment is now. So, and that perspective it is. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There are mighty men. There the mighty men shall cry out. Verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse 16, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities. They're not going to stand. And against the high towers, people's ways, their buildings, it's not going to stand. I will bring distress upon men and they shall walk like blind men. What happened? What is going on? Because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like the dust and their flesh like refuse. You know, Hosea, we were talking about the beast power, all right? You have the United States. We want to turn over to Hosea. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Because you have this country, the United States. You have Britain and its territories. Ephraim and Manasseh, before that beast power comes into effect. If we look at what Scripture says, because this has not happened before. Yes, Ephraim and Manasseh have been put into captivity. They've been taken into captivity, but never all within a new moon. Never within a 30-day time period or thereabouts. That's what happens to the United States, Britain, and its sub-territories. Hosea chapter 5, verse 1. Hear this, O priests. Take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment, because you have been a snare and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Though I rebuke them all. Verse 3, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. I would suggest, if you haven't read United States and Britain and Prophecy in a while, it would be good. Verse 4, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. And that's why God is going to step in. We need to be an example to the people that we are around. God has called us to be that example. to be different, to stand for truth, to not compromise in any way. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. They stumble in their sins. Judah also stumbles with them. Israel? With their flocks and herds, with everything that they have, all their possessions, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. It'll be too late. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord. For they have begotten pagan children, strange children. Didn't raise them up as we are to raise our children, as we have been doing. Scribes have implemented Deuteronomy chapter 6 of raising up our children and working with them. We don't see that in society today. So, now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. The way we understand that, within the 30-day time period, they're done. It's over. Which will create a vacuum for the next Roman Empire to come about, which will last 3.5 years. You have Jacob's trouble. You have Jacob's trouble. We have a period of time. So in regards to listening, the saints know God, and they hear his word. They want to hear it. In other words, remember scripture. I've been hearing this recently from a number of you. You know, perfect love casts out fear. God's Holy Spirit using it, his agape love, will cast out fear. Do we believe it? That's what scripture says. It will cast it out. If we have a perfect relationship with God and we have a perfect relationship with each other, we get rid of the selfishness, we get rid of the pride, we listen, we're caring, we're seeking God. Perfect love will cast out the fear. God says, I'm going to take it away. I'm going to be in you. You won't be a fear. So if we listen now, will be there to help all races, as it tells us in Revelation 14, 6. But let's turn over to Revelation chapter 4. Then I'm going to come back over to Acts real quick. Revelation 4. The door is open. Jesus Christ is the door. Go over to John chapter 15, John chapter 10. Jesus Christ is the door. We just read Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The good news, the truth, salvation is through him. He has the words. He has the words of the Father. The door is going to be shut for all who, or the door is open for all who will listen. It's not going to be shut. Revelation 4, let me turn over there. Starting in verse 1, Revelation 4, 1. After these things, I look, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. No, here's so a voice speaking, John, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on it, and one sat on the throne. This is God. He's seeing God in a vision. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis, stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each had six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night. And what are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So whenever the living creatures, verse 9, give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. You are worthy, O Lord. They listen. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And by your will they exist. By his will, we were created and exist. Let's go over to Acts. I mean, this is, you know, this is John seeing what he can see and explaining. But, you know, we want to be there. We want to be there. You know, that's in regards to listening to God. God's inviting us. He's not just inviting John, he's inviting us as well. He's inviting us to understand this book. We don't quite understand everything, but we understand what a lot of people in this world do not understand. But in regards to listening, what we've been reading, there's also those things happen to people who do not listen to the Word of God. And when we don't listen to the Word of God, and we think that we've made it, and Christ comes and he judges, and he says, no, Monty Knudsen, you did not make it. What do we do? We go back, Lord, Lord, well, I did this, I did that. Well, there'll be weeping, there'll be crying, and there'll be gnashing of teeth. Why? Well, let's read part of this over here in Acts chapter 7, and this is all in regards to listening or not listening. Here we have Stephen, a deacon, who was called, accused of blasphemy. The council, the people, they didn't want to hear. The religious leaders, they didn't want to hear what Stephen had to say. Let's pick up some of these verses. Acts chapter 6. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen. You had the Syrians, the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They couldn't resist it. They knew what he was saying was true, just like we're reading today for being called by God. We're reading these words that are true by God for us today. Drop down to verse 15, and all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, Stephen, saw his face as the face of an angel. Okay, so God was working with Stephen. This man was speaking, and they were cut to the heart. They didn't like it. And verse 2, you know, he goes on to tell them, you go through this chapter, goes on to tell them, you know, says, brethren and fathers, listen, listen, listen and hear the words. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham, and he was in Mesopotamia, messed that up, before he dwelt in Haran, and he said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. So he's telling them that, hey, God is calling us. We need to hear his words and to apply it. We need to listen. So he goes through that. He's telling them this story, what has gone on. Talks to them about them rejecting the prophets and killing the prophets. You know, they're the same way as people back then, same mindset. Drop over to down to or Acts 7, verse 51. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. In other words, they're not listening. They knew what he was saying was true. When we hear the words of God, we know they're true. We need to be responding the opposite, the way these individuals are responding. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. So when they heard these things, verse 54, they were cut to the heart. But it wasn't to repent. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. I don't want to listen to this. I know the way to salvation. I have salvation. I'm going to be stubborn and not love my neighbor as myself. Not get rid of the physical circumcision and have the circumcision of the heart to repent. Still going to hang on to the animal sacrifices and not get rid of them and use Jesus Christ as the one who can forgive sins so I can grow in a relationship with God. I know better. How can we apply that in today's society? What can we be doing better to respect our brothers and sisters, to keep that relationship, for us to suffer for the benefit of them? But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This was something that God did that hasn't done to us today, but an example. And they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They don't want to hear it. And they ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. Drop down to verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. And he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I'm going to die. Receive it. Is there any fear in Stephen? He had the opportunity to stand before the individuals. He was taken into their arena, not at his will, but forced type of prison in front of them. But he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And then he died. Then he died. He told the truth. He stood up for righteousness, but he didn't hold any grudges against them. He hated the sin. He hated what they were doing, but he still loved them. It's what we need to be doing. God is the one who's able to take life, and he will take our life. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 5. You know, he's given us all types of opportunities. He's a loving, he's a merciful God. If we need to get back there and repent and change and cry out to God, he's willing to forgive. Revelation 5, verse 9. So here we go. Let's go verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, verse 8, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having a harp. So here these, the throne that we were looking at earlier. Look what happens. They fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. What? And a golden bowls full of incense. The incense, which are the prayers of the saints, the ones that God loves, the ones that are responding to God, the ones that are listening. And they sang a new song, saying, so here the creatures, the 24 elders, they're singing a new song. What are they singing? You are worthy to take the scroll. They're telling Jesus Christ, God the Father has the scroll. You're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us. Who did he redeem? He didn't redeem the four creatures or the 24 elders. Now it's talking about us. Our prayers are, you have redeemed us. They've created a song. By your blood, for out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation, not just us here, but for all people, and have made us kings and priests to our God. Talking about made us. And we shall reign on the earth. And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Is that what we believe? Is that what our prayers are about? The God of who rules and created everything, wonderful, the righteous judge. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Let's go back to the verse 1. Because as we listening to this, and as those that are faithful and God has made perfect through his Son, when we look at this, verse 1 of chapter 5, and I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, as God the Father, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. I look at that as God has given the keys to Jesus Christ, and he reveals to us God's word. And I think that we could look at that, and it's like, we really look at this as the prayers. It wasn't about what I came up with this. I came up with nothing. I am nothing. We are nothing. Praise and glory be to God and his Son forever and ever. And that's what these creatures, the angels, the 24 elders, are singing this new song about us, but how we're living, because God is living in us. We don't have the right to speculate, to push our view on anything. God is the one who reveals things. When we do that, we're being presumptuous. I'm being presumptuous when I do that. We all do it. We all need to put it down. Christ is worthy to reveal the truth to us. We need to be humble. We need to listen. We need to understand that God wants a relationship with us, and he wants us to have a relationship with each other. and be willing to die for that relationship with God and for one another. We get to that point in our lives, the Holy Spirit is growing in us, we're still growing, we do not have to fear, because that perfect love will cast out fear if we're demonstrating it. The two great commandments. And you can continue. We know that Revelation chapter 6, towards the end of that chapter, those that were afraid hid themselves. They ran from God. They ran into the caves. They ran into the mountains and, oh, let the rocks fall on us. Just like Adam and Eve, they hid themselves when they disobeyed God. When we disobey God, we're going to run. We're going to hide. We're going to be fearful. How are we conducting our lives? In our words and what we say and what we do and our euphemisms? Are we getting rid of them? Are we seeking to get rid of them? Or we just continue on? Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. That was the song, the hymn we just sang before I came up here. James 2:10, for whoever shall keep the whole law yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. If we're guilty of not having the right relationship with our mates, with our family members, with each other, we're guilty of everything. We're guilty. Death penalty. We can't have a relationship with each other the way God wants it unless we have a relationship with Him and through His Son. To seek those needs that we need our sins forgiven and we need help to overcome. And God is willing to answer that prayer to love one another as we love God. You know, I'm going to get down here to the conclusion. You know, there's a refining process. And you can let's go over to Malachi chapter 3 real quick. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1 says, behold, I send my messenger. Verse 2, who can endure? You know, who can endure? Who can endure this return of Jesus Christ? The answer is to those who are willing to be refined. To be refined. Because we need to be refined. We need to be cleaned. Who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. We need to be refined and we need to be clean. We need to be washed to wear those and represent those white linen. I'd like to, as we've gone through this, I want this to be encouraging. Because what God reveals to us, He reveals to us, some will grow 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Don't look at what someone else is doing. Don't compare yourself with that. Let's be looking to our God and striving to become, you know, more like Him. Because whatever little that God has given you and you're faithful in that, He's going to give us so much more. Just be faithful in what God has given you. Be faithful in that. Seek and work on that. And we should be encouraging to each other. We should be different than the world, even during this pandemic. We should be loving and caring. Willing to surrender and yield to each other. You know, there's a time to listen. And everything, there's a season, there's a time. There's a time to listen to God's creation. Right now, I'd like to play that video. I'd like to read to you Psalm 105. For those who want to turn there or just listen. Because David saw God's judgments. King David. And he recognized that they were also apparent through his creation. We need to listen. With modern technology, we can look at a cricket, a noisy cricket. A cricket that keeps us up at night. Where's that cricket? And we're around the whole house looking for that cricket to do what? To step on it. With modern technology, an individual took a number of crickets and slowed down the speed. But he also kept part of the video is a normal speed of a cricket. But this is God's creation. If we just slow down and listen. Those were just crickets, nothing else. Beethoven's statement there about music, you know, God is the God of all wisdom. Psalm 105, as I was talking about before I played this, 105 verse 5, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders. And the judgments of his mouth. Verse 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. God is a loving, caring, giving God and wants to give us everything. God is a wonderful judge who will make us righteous if we just listen. We just listen. It's in his power to decide and carry out righteous and merciful judgments. Let's listen. Brethren, are we listening?